After the budget was presented to Parliament, it appears we have the biggest spending budget since the Second World War with a $160 billion deficit. I spoke with Shadow Assistant Treasurer Andrew Lee a little earlier and asked him whether there was a number of measures that Labor would have included if they were in government.
There's certainly a range of things we support. The removal of the $450 threshold for superannuation contributions, the scrapping of the public service staffing cap, the modest contribution towards aged care as far as it goes. But this is really a budget which spends $1 trillion of debt and yet doesn't set Australia up for the future. It doesn't set us up in terms of climate change, inequality, the challenge of declining test scores, and doesn't solve things like the aged care crisis that the Royal Commission has identified. It's a spend-a-thon to get the government through the next election rather than a reformist platform for the decades to come.
Well, it's a bit of a reverse, isn't it, to hear the ALP complaining about deficits, because normally Labor's been criticised for deficits in the past. Isn't it the right time for a fiscal stimulus?
We certainly need stimulus, and no one's questioning that it was appropriate to take on debt during the crisis. But the question is the quality of that spend. So while we've got debt now going to about four times what the Coalition inherited, we still have some $15 to $20 billion being given to profitable firms through the JobKeeper program, many of which use taxpayer money to pay the executive bonuses.
There was a bit of a period of sunshine for people on JobSeeker last year, and of course they came down with a bit of a thud, but there's been some increases. There's another small adjustment in this budget. Couldn't we do something better with JobSeeker? Couldn't it be, say, a proportion of the age pension? Wouldn't that take care of cost of living adjustments?
Well, certainly we've been maintaining the campaign on JobSeeker. Labor's focus on the issue, which I think ultimately forced the government to move and to put in place that increase in the JobSeeker allowance. It is still a low amount of money by advanced country standards. We certainly recognise the impact that that has. We need to make sure that we're reducing inequality rather than increasing it.
Universities have been doing it tough during the border shutdowns. This budget doesn't do a great deal to alleviate their problems. What more can they do to survive in this extended period of fiscal stress?
Oh, I really don't know. I mean, I certainly speak to vice-chancellors and academics very regularly, and I'm aware of the strain that they're under. One estimate has a $20 billion cost to the higher education sector from the ongoing border closure. And you see from this budget a worsening of the government's forecasts as to when tourism and immigration will resume. That's a huge hit to universities, not just to their student base, but also to their research capacity. And it means that potentially we'll be doing lasting damage to the higher education sector. It's also an impact for small businesses that have benefited from hiring overseas students. You know, I was talking to a hotel operator today who was saying that he can't fill his rooms because he just doesn't have enough staff to clean them. And previously he's had part-timers who were combining work and study. Now those overseas students aren't there. It's having an impact on his hotel business.
There's been measures in the budget, and certainly Josh Frydenberg pointed them up, that to help women. Do you think there could be other measures that the government could have put in?
Family violence advocates strongly urged the government not to axe the family court, and yet they went ahead and did that. So it's pretty hard to take them seriously when they say they're now the party that's going to address the crisis in family violence. We know that a lot of sustainability for women depends on having good jobs and having growing wages, and yet the government's forecast for wages is that they'll actually go backwards.
Are we getting to be any closer to closing the gap for Indigenous people after this budget?
No, almost nothing new in the budget for closing the gap initiatives. My colleagues, Melanderi McCarthy, Pat Dodson and Linda Burney, have highlighted the failings there. And that's got a consequence for all of us. I mean, closing the gap isn't just an issue for Indigenous people. It's an issue for making sure that we make things right by the original inhabitants of the land.
Simon Birmingham mentioned that mental health was an important budget initiative from his perspective. Should there be other measures? Are they doing enough to help people during this COVID period?
We've seen a decline in suicide over the COVID period, which was very welcome and quite the opposite of what some people have been warning about. But we've got to be on our guard on this issue. It's a huge challenge, particularly for young Australians. The government's got some funding for new headspace centres, but we don't know where they're going to be located. And this government has such a track record of putting new announcements in coalition seats rather than in the places they're most needed.
ALP Shadow Assistant Treasurer Andrew Lee speaking with me there. We do apologise for the quality of the Zoom recording. Lack of broadcast funding prevented us from being in Canberra for this budget. I'm Roderick Chambers and you're listening to The Wire around Australia on the Community Radio Network.